Merry Christmas to everybody. My name is Victor and the last name Shmyhlenko. Nobody can pronounce it. I know a lot of stories from jail when Pios, Dios, Sios tried to pronounce my last name. It was funny. Though the whole thing that I've been in jail was not funny, especially for me, I will try to start from the very beginning and give you an idea. You can call me Ukrainian Cowboy. That's how Pastor Rick called me. And he was really, really right about that, because when I was a little boy, I lived in Ukraine. I lived in rural area in the village. I was a cowboy, a real cowboy, not that fake cowboys that put, you know, hats, boots, and, you know, walk in Phoenix area over here. I was a boy who was waking up every morning, take 250 cows, take them to the pasture. And I was paid for that like 5 rubles a day. And it was like fairly good money for boy, because I could buy a bicycle for like 50 rubles. So 10 days working and I can buy a bicycle. So I was considered a rich boy. It was Soviet Union time. As you remember probably this time, I was born in 1969. So about when I was like 10 years old boy, it was 1979. And why I start from that part, like from far away from now, I just want to explain you the truth. As Pastor Rick said, how many things you take guys here for granted. And I can see this because I am from different country and different culture. And I'm really happy that you can take those things for granted here, because it's no fun. My mom was not, you know, Christian or believer, but she was. She decided to baptize me when I was 6 months old. I know that some religions or some Christians do not believe that people could be baptized at that young age, like 6 months, but something happened to me. I can't remember what was it, because I was a real baby, but I got sick, and doctors couldn't help, couldn't do anything, and one grandma told to my mom that the only thing that can save me is church or Jesus or God. And she said, but you cannot bring your baby to the church if he is not baptized. So my mom took me, and she walked like 7 miles from our village to a different village, not pastor, we call them pope, but not like a Vatican pope, just, yeah, father, like a saint father, priest, probably priest, the proper word, right? So she brought me there and asked him to baptize me. It was done really quick and everything. And after that, she brought me back to, how do you call people that, that heal people with Jesus' power, or they pretend to do that? Yeah, probably. So, as you see, it worked, because I'm standing here, I'm alive, and so I was saved. This probably was the first miracle shown by God to me, because I supposed to die probably. My father was a communist, and when people found out that his wife, my mom, baptized me, he got a lot of problems. Like, they decided to, you know, expel him from communist party, and that would be a really, really terrible thing, because if you expel from communist party, you're something like a state enemy. So you will get problems everywhere on every step. For some reason he was not expelled. I can't remember that part of story, but anyway, my father was a good man. He was not communist in his heart. It was, you know, very fictitious. He was fake communist, but that was time when everybody was a communist, and that was very funny time. Funny and sad. Funny because everybody saw it was fake, it was unnatural, but everybody followed that. This was like a big game for big adults, for big guys, and they followed that. But kids were following him. I remember we were in the school, we were small kids, and we were taught that America is the country that the only goal of Americans is to destroy Soviet Union. And the Americans have nuclear weapon, they have planes, like battleships, they have a lot of weapons, and the only reason why they accumulate power, they want to destroy us. They want to come here and kill me. So I was really scared, because I thought, those Americans, I even didn't realize where they are. So, but every day was filled with fear. I was expected you guys to come and kill me over there. So it was a little bit scary time as well. And another thing that we were raised was atheism. We were told that there is no God. People that believe in God, they don't understand science. They don't understand how the world was created. They think that the God created all world and universe and everything. And if you think so you are not really a good person, and you are not a Soviet citizen. So that's a little bit about atmosphere I was raised in. And more of that, a lot of people were in jail just for spreading God's word, for getting together for service, for believing, for faith. It's not something that you... It's something that you can find online if you type, if you have time and you are interested in that. Hundreds and thousands of people there in Soviet Union were in jail just for religious belief. And it's not something unusual. I know a lot of people personally that were in jail like for 2 years, for 5 years, for 20 years. It depends how active they were, you know, spreading the word. If you just attending the service, you can get like 2 years in prison. If you're a pastor, you probably will be in prison for 20 or 25 years. And it was not so long time ago, I think that until 1991, you could be arrested and in prison for your religious beliefs. So that's about taking things for granted. So when I came to the United States, I was a kind of, not atheist, but I was not a believer either. I never told that there is no God, but I never attended services, I never prayed, maybe very, very seldom, maybe once a year, not seriously. And then something happened to me. I was arrested and I was put in jail. I spent there 7 months before I was sentenced, and I was sentenced for 5 months. So total 1 year in jail. It was not DOC, thanks to God. It was just jail. I don't have my DOC number. I just spent time 7 months in Durango jail and 5 months in Mr. Arpaio's hotel, 10. And if we would had, you know, like a long discussion, I probably start and told you that my crime didn't deserve me to be in jail, that a lot of people doing the worst thing and they still free, they are not in jail. But that's not the point. The point is, when I was in jail and I felt like I'm accused and punished for something that I didn't really do, or I did but not so much, so I deserve to be punished, I was complaining to someone I didn't know about, to whom I was complaining. And then I understand that I'm talking to God. And it was a weird feeling for me. Like, I'm atheist. I was sitting in my cell, in my bunk, and was talking to imaginary man. No, like, I'm atheist. I'm from Soviet Union. And I was talking to him, and I couldn't understand why. Subconsciously, you know, my heart, my spirit, my brain decided to talk to someone that I even can see. I was talking to him and I told him, God, I don't deserve to be here. I have a family, I have a son, I have a wife. They are struggling without me. both financially, and you know, they miss me too. And I want to go out, I want to continue my life and be happy as I was before. Please let me go, God. I did nothing wrong. I want to go. It never happened. And I was mad. I was sad. I was disappointed that God didn't hear me, didn't answer my prayers. And I gave up a little bit about relationship with Him, like for a week or something. Then I started, they started to think, okay, probably God didn't hear me because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to talk to Him because I never did it. So thanks to God, I have some manual over here. And I found a Bible. I found a Bible. It's very, you know, easily accessible in jail. You can get it. I found a Bible and started to read. I read the Bible, and the more I read, the more I understood God, the more I understood His plan, the more I understood what He wants from me, the more I understood what I have to do. I started to visit, to attend religious services, and different one. I even didn't care what church was it. Like, it was for me the reason, just, you know, to get out of the lockdown or to get out of my cell, my pod, go to see people, you know, sing some songs, listen to sermons. And one day, I even can't remember who, one pastor asked, who didn't accept Jesus Christ yet? And I raised my hand. And some few guys did this as well. And he said, okay, I will pray, you just repeat after me. And I started to repeat after him. And something happened to me. I started to cry, you know, tears. I'm not easy crying, man. You know, I'm 44 years old, man. As Pastor Rick said, I was a sergeant in Soviet Union Army. So I was prepared, you know, to fight you guys when you come to kill me, remember? So I was tough, man. And I was sitting and crying. I was crying, and I understood that whatever happened to me, no matter what people I will meet in this life, there is always one person that always loves me, that always cares about me, that always thinks about me. And I felt so close relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, I wish that everybody, even once in their life, feel that, what I felt there. Because I was desperate. I was locked up. I spent a few months in jail. I had no money for lawyer. I had family outside that was struggling. I had no friends. I have no relatives here in this country. I was stranger in this stranger world. And I felt like I'm not that guilty. So the whole world was against me. It was terrible. But as they say, man's extremity is God's opportunity. What happened? I started to understand. Victor, you are here not because that guy told that you stole some stuff. You are here not because policemen came and arrest you and put some handcuffs on you. You are here because all your life, 44 years, you ignored relationship with Father. You ignored relationship with Jesus. And I look back at my life and I understand that so many times in my life Jesus was, you know, tapping my shoulder and saying, Victor, okay, later. Say, hey Victor, listen to me. I say, okay, tomorrow. Victor, you're doing not right. I say, later, I'm busy now. I say, Victor, listen to me, I have something to say to you, to tell to you. And I say, yeah, I know, but I listen to you later. I'm so busy now. I'm making money. I raise my family. I'm having fun. I plan my future. This life, I'm doing it right now, right here. So I'm busy. I have no time to go to church. I have no time to read the Bible. I have no time even to talk to you because so many things to do. Funny things or necessarily things that I have to do every day. So I apologize, Jesus, but later. and one day, no, policeman just came and arrested me and put me in a jail where I had nothing but 24 hours a day sitting and thinking about my fate, my destiny, my life, and finally about Jesus. You know, to be honest with you, there is another saying that I like, that promises that you give during the storm are forgotten at the quiet weather, or something like that, peaceful weather. So many promises were given by me in jail. So many promises to myself, to Jesus, and many of them I do not keep. That's a shame, I understand that, but you know, probably everybody, everyone knows about those things. I don't read Bible right now as often as I read it in jail. I read it literally probably 18 hours a day. I don't talk about Jesus as often as I used to do this in jail. And sometimes I think, I can't believe that Jesus has to put me in jail again to restore that relationship. I don't want it. Because that was really bad time in my life and really sweet time of my life. I understood that I am there in jail not because I did something wrong, not because I break human law, human law. I break God's law. I separated myself from God long time ago, and He was very patient with me. He let me 44 years to build that relationship. And when He understood that I never will do this by myself, He brought me right there in that situation where I had nothing to do just to talk to Him. And it was very, very blessed time. I met guys, brothers in faith, that we were learning Bible. Then we started to teach Bible because so many guys around were like knew about God even less than we did. And pastors and church services come like one or two times a week, but we need this every day. We needed this every day. It was not just because we have to do that. I mean, not because someone told us to do that. We felt that way. We wanted to talk about Jesus. We wanted to read God's words from Bible. We wanted to spread that word. So we started with my good friend Paulo from Durango. By the way, he's still there right now, waiting for his sentencing. We started to run Bible studies. And we had 15 to 20 guys, three times a week, getting together at the desk, at the table, and talking about God, about Jesus. And I think that's the only reason I was in jail, to get back to God's family, to build a relationship with God, and to spread the word as much as I can. And I'm so honored, and I'm so happy, and I'm so glad that today I'm blessed that I can tell this to you, and I can share it with you and other guys that will come after you on the service. Wanted to tell you just one little thing. When I was a sergeant in Soviet Union Army, it was 1990, 1 year before Soviet Union collapsed, and I got a vacation. They let me go home for 2 weeks because I was a really good guy. I took the plane from Minsk, Belarus, where I was in the military service, and came to Moscow, where my sister was with me. And on the way from Minsk to Moscow, because of the bad weather, the plane was landing in Riga. Riga, that's Lithuania, Baltic country. And I spent there like 3 hours waiting till the storm will be gone, so the plane can take up and go to the destination. And I felt like I was really happy because I was young, I was 20 years old, I got those sergeant, how you call this, stripes. I got sergeant stripes, just got them. all girls were looking at me, like, you know, like flirting with me. I was nice looking, good looking young man. I went to see my family from the service. I got some money in my pocket, so I was, you know, wandering around at the airport and looking where I can spend money, like drinking some soda, some hot dogs or whatever. And I found it was 1990. The computers just started to appear. Yeah. And it was, they were big and they were actually slow. And it was one business. The lady was sitting in the corner at the desk with computer and the advertising, like ad says, find out who you are in your previous life. 5 rubles, 10 minutes, and you will know who you are in your previous life. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Who I am? And I paid those money, and she'd press a couple of keys and print out for me the whole information based on my date of birth and time of birth and everything. It's like horoscope or something. And she told me, she gave me that text, and I started to read. It was interesting. It told something that I was born on the island of Borneo, somewhere in Malaysia, somewhere in my previous life, and I was a female. And I was a priestess at the local tribe. And I was very respectable, and I lived like for very, very, you know, old age, and my life was happy. Blah, blah, blah. I read all this. Okay. Good spent money. Well, money well spent. And in the end, it was very short paragraph. It said, what is the reason for your current life? And it was say, to find God. I remember, I swear, it was 1990. I was 20 years old, and I read that the reason for my life now, to find God. And I was laughing at it. To find God? I don't need any God. I am a God. I'm young. I'm a sergeant. I have money. I'm on my vacation. And I told, I wonder how God will make me to find him. It was told 24 years. It was said 24 years ago. It took God 24 years to get me into the situation where I was happy to find him. I was happy to see him. So, thank you for listening. I don't know, probably it was not very, you know, very good, very well done, because I didn't prepare myself. I decided, you know, to improvise. And my message is, there are millions and millions of ways the person can come to Jesus and find him. No matter how did you find Jesus. Probably you were born in the religious family and you know Jesus from being a baby. Maybe you found Jesus just yesterday. The main thing is you found him. You are here and it tells me that you found him. You know him. And I'm happy now. I am, a lot of miracles happened to me. Like, I was released from jail instead of going to immigration. I had to go to immigration because I'm not American citizen. But I was praying, Pastor Rick was praying, probably many of you were praying for me and for my wife Ina, for my son Michael, because every Saturday on the service with Pastor Rick, I was asking for that prayer. And I missed that part that in 10th, I met Pastor Rick, and it was the only thing that worth, you know, living, to live from Saturday to Saturday, because to be honest with you, my religious life, my Jesus life in Durango was much better than in 10th, because in 10th I had nobody to talk about. Some guys that were religious, they spoke Spanish, I didn't understand them, they didn't understand me. I saw them reading the Bible, I respected them, we share a little bit, but it was not, you know, the good conversation. So I missed that. So I was really happy when Amazing Church, Amazing Grace Church, started to visit us there. that was a really, really good thing. And my friend Naz, he's Armenian. He's now in immigration custody. I met him, by the way, Pastor Rick. I met him for 4 days because immigration came to my work and arrested me and put me in immigration custody in Eloy. And I met Naz. He was in the cell next to me. He's still there. For some reason, I thought that I will be there for a few months or maybe a few years or will be deported to Ukraine. But for some reason, I was released from immigration custody in 4 days. I don't know what happened, and nobody knows what happened. I have an idea what happened. I was walking on the stadium and thinking about my new troubles, that I am in jail again. I just got out of the jail, I found a job, I was doing good. In 2 months, immigration came and arrested me and put me in jail again. And I was really mad. And you know on who? Yes. I was really mad at him. I thought, Lord, I can't understand. Why did you do this to me? You saw that I act like a Pharisee, you know. I started to show God how good am I. How good I am. I said, you saw that I was good, that I was reading Bible, that I was visiting, attending church. And you see that I'm a good person. Why you put me in jail again? There are a lot of guys over there. They are free. They are real evil. They bad. You didn't put them in jail, but I am in jail again. What happened? And I told to God, God, if you care about me, if you hear me, if you listen to me, let me go out on Monday. It happened on Friday. I understood that nobody will let me go on Saturday, on Sunday. I say, let me go on Monday. I want to go out. And then say, okay, God, I'm sorry. There's probably not enough time on Monday. Okay, let me go out like in till Christmas. I want to celebrate Christmas with my son and my wife. Like in 10 minutes, I calm down and say, I started to pray and say, God, forgive me. I don't know what happened to me. Why I did say that. Why I did talk to you like this. I'm really apologize. I'm so sorry. I sinned. Please forgive me. On Monday, I was released. They came to me and said, okay, where are you going? I say, I'm not going anywhere. No, you're probably going either to be deported or you are going back home to Phoenix. I said, no, what are you talking about? And they showed me the paper. It says immediate release. It was signed by some person. When I the next day when I was released, they just bring me to Greyhound bus station and let me go. The next day I went to immigration facility and asked, what's going on? Why did you arrest me? And the most important, why did you release me? They look at my papers. They say, we don't know. What do you mean we don't know? Someone signed the papers for immediate release. I said, who? It says, this guy, but we can't find him. We don't know who it is. Is this from office of ICE office? It's Immigration and Custody Enforcement Office. Someone signed. When they called him and asked, why did he write that? I said, I don't know. It was in the paper somewhere. So they started to investigate what happened to me, and they actually didn't find an answer why I was released. And then I said, God, thank you. I put you to the test. I really apologize for that. I'm sorry. That's a thing. But thank you very much. Thank you for doing that. It's unbelievable. If I would be sitting over there and somebody was staying here and telling this to you, I would not believe. I would not believe you. But believe me, that's what happened. They don't know what happened because God signed that paper with someone's hand. And I was released on Monday as I asked. I asked for impossible. Let me go. I wish after that I should ask on Saturday. So I would probably spend 2 days instead of four. But okay, I asked to celebrate Christmas with my son and my wife. and here I am today. And I am so happy, brothers and sisters, I'm so happy that today I can say, I can tell you that I don't know about Jesus, but I know Jesus. And I love that relationship. I'm so happy that I'm in that relationship. And I'm so happy when I pray to call him Father, because I feel like his son, and he loves me like his son. Merry Christmas. Praise be to Lord. Amen. Thank you.